Chapter 4. The next morning is a large meeting about current events in the supernatural world, which Stiles attends, thinking it might be interesting. It isn't. It seems mostly to be a bunch of assholes bragging about their latest conquests. He tries to hide his yawns and definitely tries not to fall asleep. He's pretty sure that if he wakes up screaming from a nightmare, it will win him no friends. He's preoccupied anyway, because day 4 is the midpoint of the convention, and thus hosts the tournament. The kids go first, and then the adults have their own tournament after them. Stiles was asked as soon as he arrived at the hotel that morning if he planned to compete. He said, sure, why not? He's not thrilled with the concept, but he's pretty sure if he backs out, Freddy Bobbsey will take that as a notice that he's afraid of him. The matches are supposedly determined at random, but Stiles isn't at all surprised when he sees the schedule that he's matched up against Freddy and Allison against Flossie. He sighs and considers his options. It's a weaponless tournament, hand-to-hand combat only, so he probably won't fare very well against Freddy, who's 2 inches taller and probably has at least 20 pounds of muscle on him. Then again, he hasn't actually seen Freddy fight. After thinking about it, he decides that as much as it might make sense to go down easy, avoid injury, and allow Freddy to continue to underestimate him, that is absolutely not going to happen. He just doesn't have it in him. Tweedledum might grind him into paste, but Stiles is resolved to make him work for it. He texts Derek to let him know not to freak out if he gets beaten up a little. The resounding silence in reply makes Derek's opinion on this quite clear. Veruca Salt is up against Beefcake McAbcrunch, and Wednesday Adams has been matched up with Grabby Hands. This will be interesting, since as of yet, Stiles has no idea what any of them can do. He sees Beefy wincing at the schedule. He clearly isn't thrilled with his opponent. The tournament is set up, so not only do the winners fight the winners, but the losers fight the losers. That way there will be a rank for everyone, rather than just one champion. The opponents may not have been chosen as randomly as the tournament's organizers would like people to believe, but the order of the matches has been. Stiles is relieved to see that he's not first. That honor goes to Buff McBiceps and Veruca Salt. Stiles' match with Freddy is third, after Allison's with Flossie. He feels kind of bad for Hunky, who obviously doesn't want to be fighting a 16-year-old girl. It doesn't even seem to be a chivalry thing. It's just that she's completely outmatched. They both know it. And he feels bad. Fortunately for him, Veruca's surprisingly competent in physical combat. She's obviously had some martial arts training, and she manages to get a few hits in, probably even without Hunky letting her. So while Beefcake takes her down easily enough, she doesn't exactly embarrass herself either. The rules of the tournament are similar to a boxing match. The opponent has to stay down for 10 seconds. It doesn't matter if they're unconscious, pinned, or if they simply yield the fight. Chris, being the guest of honor, gets to referee. This makes Stiles somewhat relieved, knowing that he'll be up there in case things get out of hand. He's a little worried about Allison's fight. Unlike him, she won't have to hold back. She's the princess of the Argent family, and everyone will expect her to be among the best. That's good, because Stiles doesn't think she'll be capable of holding back right now. She's separated from her pack, from her mate. She's tense and edgy and sleep-deprived. It doesn't help that Flossie starts the match by going right for her throat. Allison sweeps a leg underneath her, and then follows up with her whole body, slamming Flossie into the mats with enough force to make Stiles wince. The blonde fights dirty, hair-pulling, clawing, no holds barred. But Allison is simply better. It takes her about 5 minutes to get Flossie into a ground hold that she learned from her father, and no matter how much she struggles, she just can't get free. Allison gets enthusiastic applause for her showing, and then it's Stiles' turn. Freddy's smirking as he walks up on the stage. Stiles has left his shirt on this time. He doesn't think that any of the hunters present would recognize his tattoo as a pack symbol, but he doesn't want to chance it. He yawns and stretches as Freddy settles into a fighting stance, and Chris sounds the match to begin. Styles wasn't sure exactly what to expect from Freddy. He holds himself like a fighter, and he demonstrates quickly that he knows what he's doing. He's bigger than Styles by quite a bit, and strong. Styles takes a punch to find out exactly how strong, turning so he gets it in the side instead of in the solar plexus where it was aimed. It sends him tumbling. But Freddy is slow. Styles isn't sure if he thinks that because he's so accustomed to sparring with werewolves, or if it's as bad as he thinks it is. His own speed is fairly average for a human. Being alpha of the pack enhances his senses, boosts his stamina, and augments his healing, but it doesn't make him much stronger or faster. Of course, he's a lot stronger and faster than he used to be, but that's just the effects of working out and practicing all the time. So with that on his side, he wears Freddy down. He dances around, avoiding the more serious blows because he can see them coming an hour before they hit. He gets in a jab here, a kick there, never strong enough to do any real damage in the moment, but the effect is cumulative. It's a fight of endurance, so unless Freddy gets in a lucky hit, he's doomed. If he does, Styles knows he's screwed if Freddy pins him. There's no way he'll be strong enough to get free. But that never happens. Freddy gets frustrated with the way things are going and lunges into a full charge. Styles almost laughs, because this is the very first thing he learned. He didn't even learn it from Derek. He learned it from Gerard. It's a typical werewolf move. They're big and strong and charge straight into things. Styles is small and fast. He uses it to his advantage, goes into a slight crouch and gets his shoulder in Freddy's stomach. Freddy goes flying over Styles' shoulder, carried by his own momentum, and lands flat on his back. He starts to get up, but Styles is already on him, pinning him with his knee in Freddy's abdomen and his elbow right in his carotid artery. Even though he has the raw strength to push Styles off him, he can't because of the force Styles is applying to the pressure points. The crowd is basically stunned into silence for a moment. Styles has gathered over the course of the last several days that the Aronson family is one of the most prominent in the hunting world, and that they were expected to do very well at the tournament. For Flossie to lose to Allison is no big deal, given Allison's status. But Styles is a nobody from a relatively small hunting family that he's not actually from. The effect is emphasized by the fact that, after a long, slow fight, the ending was as sudden as it was brutal. Allison cheers for him, and there's some polite applause, but he doesn't get anywhere near the reaction the other two victors did. Although the opponents are supposed to shake hands afterwards, Freddy storms out of the ring as soon as Styles allows him up. Styles shrugs and goes back to his seat to watch the next match. It's rather pitiful. As much as Grabby Hands has made jokes about his eyesight and played on his phone during lectures, at no point has it been quite so evident that he doesn't want to be there. He's had some training, obviously, but his attacks are half-hearted at best. Wednesday Adams proves to be surprisingly adept, definitely an opponent worth keeping an eye on. She's just as fast as Allison is, and has obviously had a lot of martial arts training. She takes Grabby down quick and easy. She doesn't bother to pin him, and he doesn't bother getting up. There's a break, then, while straws are drawn to determine the following matches. The losers will go first, of course, because people don't care about them as much. In fact, Styles notices that about a third of the audience actually leaves at this point, including Grabby's father. He assumes they'll be back later, for the winners' matches. Grabby Hands gives a little grimace when it's announced that he'll be fighting Flossie, leaving Veruca paired up with Freddy. The twins handily beat their opponents in this round. Chris actually has to step in for the first time to prevent Flossie from beating Grabby a little more thoroughly than the rules of the tournament would allow. He's clearly bruised and in a lot of pain, but does his best against Veruca in his final match, until she takes him down with a roundhouse kick to the face. After that, he stumbles off in the direction of the medics table. Freddy and Flossie vie for fifth and sixth, respectively, a fight which Flossie wins. Although Stiles isn't sure whether that's because she's better or because Freddy doesn't want to beat his sister in public. Then it's Stiles' turn against Beefcake McAbsalot. He knows he can't win this match. People can consider his victory against Freddy as something of a lucky win. He waited for an opportune moment and then seized it. But if he beats two of the favored contestants, he'll have a lot more attention than he can stand. People will start to wonder who this nobody kid is and how he got so good. And that is something that he definitely does not want. About a minute into the match, two things become clear. The first is that Freddy really is as slow as Stiles thought he was. The second is that even if he wanted to win this match, it's not going to happen. Buff is stronger than Freddy, almost as strong as Derek, but he isn't weighed down by his muscles the way the blonde is. Stiles does just about as well against him as Veruca did. He blocks a few hits, gets in a few hits, then misjudges and takes a right hook to the face and is knocked flat out. He's actually unconscious for the entire 10 seconds of the count, and then another 15 seconds after that, before he shakes himself back into consciousness. Hunk is kneeling over him, looking concerned. Relief floods his face when Stiles opens his eyes. "Shit, man, I really thought you'd block that," he says. "Me too," Stiles replies, and the older boy laughs. Beefy gives him a hand up, and there's more applause, a little more enthusiastic this time, as Stiles wobbles out of the ring and towards the medics. They sit him down, check him for a concussion, and give him an ice pack for his face. Grabby Hands is still sitting there, looking dejected. Stiles tries to strike up a conversation with him, but is rebuffed, and really, his jaw hurts too much to talk. He misses Allison's fight with Wednesday, which is a shame, because he's pretty sure it's spectacular. They're well matched against each other, and he can hear the reactions of the audience. It's one of the longer fights, so they must both be doing well. But Allison finally prevails. There's another break before the final two matches. The winner's loser and the winner's winner, as one of the medics says, laughing. Chris comes over to Stiles and asks, "Are you okay to fight?" "Psh, yeah, sure," Stiles says, handing the ice pack back to the medics. Once he stands up, he revises his opinion. He still feels a little loopy. Beefcake cleaned his clock pretty good. He shakes off the dizziness and goes back into the ring to face Wednesday Adams. She still has that same dour look on her face, now emphasized by a split lip and a nasty cut over her eyebrow. Like Allison, she's quick, but her blows don't land with the same force. Stiles struggles, though, because the world isn't quite stable around him, and the floor isn't always exactly where he expects it to be. Wednesday seems to understand this, and he suspects that she's going a little easier on him than the others. He also hears a few approving murmurs from the audience. Apparently, they're impressed that he's still taking his place in the tournament, despite his obvious injury. He gets distracted, thinking of how Derek must be climbing the walls at home, knowing his alpha is injured, despite knowing he's not in danger, and takes a kick to the stomach that knocks him off his feet. "Do I have to pin you?" Wednesday asks, like they're just chatting about the weather. "No," Stiles wheezes. "I'm good." Wednesday helps him to his feet, and people applaud, and Stiles takes a bow because, of course, he does. He's Stiles. Wednesday almost cracks a smile at his behavior. So he officially takes fourth and Wednesday third, leaving only the victor's match between Allison and Beefcake. The medics try to get Stiles to sit with them again, but there's no way he's missing the last match. It's a long fight, and a good one. Hunky may have taken it easy on Veruca, but it definitely wasn't to be sexist. He goes after Allison with everything he's got. He's fast, but she's faster. She's strong, but he's stronger. Several times they trade blows hard enough to make everyone in the audience wince. She actually manages to pin him twice, but he escapes with brute strength both times. When he pins her the first time, she squirms free. But the second time, he gets her arm twisted up behind her back and his forearm pressed against the back of her neck. She struggles like mad, but never manages to get out of it. So Beefcake McAbcrunch officially wins the tournament to much enthusiastic applause, but Allison takes second, which isn't a bad showing, all things considered. All the contenders are called up to the stage to shake hands with their former opponents. The twins refuse to come up at first, and Styles catches a glimpse of a tall man with the same blonde hair, giving them what looks like a very thorough lecture. Begrudgingly, they go up to the stage. Freddy's grip nearly crushes Styles' fingers. He's reminded, suddenly, of every lacrosse game he's ever played, where they have to line up and high-five or cross sticks with their opponents afterwards. And the familiar refrain, "Good game, good game, fuck you, good game." When he gets his things back, his phone has a message on it. Unsurprisingly, it's from Derek. And it's terse as usual.
"Need to see you. Room 615.
"You'll be all right without me for a while?" Styles asks Allison, and she nods. Apparently, the post-tournament idea of fun is to rehash the entire damn thing and talk about all the ways that the teenagers could have done better. Styles is so not interested. Although it would be fun to see some expert instructor ask Freddy what the hell he thought he was doing, charging head-on at an opponent proven to be faster and more agile. He doubts that's the way it'll go. He'll come back down for the adults tournament, which will start in half an hour. He sneaks off and takes the stairs up to the sixth floor, which is not a lot of fun in his current condition. He knocks on the door of room 615, and it's jerked open a mere moment later. Derek grabs him by the wrist, yanks him inside, and slams it shut. "You're hurt," he says, through clenched teeth. "I did warn you," Styles starts, but then decides, fuck it, it's not worth it. "Yeah, sorry, that older Argent kid got in a good shot when my guard was down." Derek takes his chin between two fingers and tilts his head so he can examine the swelling and the nasty bruise that's already forming. Styles allows this, and then Derek splays his fingers out over the injury, and the pain starts to fade. Styles lets out an involuntary little groan and sags against him. "Jesus, I always forget you can do that," he says. "You're an idiot," Derek says, scowling at him. "Yeah. Hey, I placed fourth, though. That's something to celebrate. Also, did you seriously get a room in this hotel just so you could corner me after the tournament and make sure I wasn't permanently damaged?" Derek's glower doesn't lessen. "What's wrong with that?" Styles sighs and says, "Fuck this, I need to lie down for a bit." He'd spent another night tossing and turning, wondering how the rest of the pack was doing, missing Derek, feeling lonely. "Wake me in a half hour or so, okay?" Through clenched teeth, Derek says, "Fine," and steers him over to the bed. He flops down onto it, pulling Styles down on top of him. Styles sprawls out with his head on Derek's chest and one arm wrapped around his waist, and falls asleep almost immediately. He sleeps so soundly that his phone almost doesn't wake him when it starts ringing. He fumbles for it in the semi-darkness of the hotel room, trying to remember where he is. He doesn't recognize any of the smells except Derek. Derek being there means he's safe, and it's tempting to ignore the phone and just sink back down into sleep. He has a nagging feeling that it would be a bad idea, though, so he manages to grab it. "Hello?" "Styles?" It's Allison's voice. "Where are you? We're ready to head back to the house." "Fuck." Styles rubs both hands over his face. The bruise gives a little twinge as he does so. "What time is it?" "Nearly 6. Did you fall asleep?" "Yeah, I'll be down in a minute." Styles hangs up and is prepared to ask Derek why he didn't wake him. But the answer is quite obvious. Derek's so soundly asleep himself that even the conversation didn't wake him. Styles lets out a little sigh. He considers leaving without bothering him, but he doubts that waking up alone will make Derek feel any better. So he gives the older man a little shake. Hey, Furball, wake up.
Derek opens one eye and snarls mildly at him. Then he blinks. His reaction to how long they've slept is similar to Styles.
Fuck, he mumbles. Did I fall asleep?
Yeah, we were both out for a couple hours, Styles says. I've gotta go, okay? I'll call you tonight if I get a chance.
Derek nods and lets out a sigh, closing his eyes and forcing himself to let go of Styles. The teenager stops in the bathroom quickly, washes his face, and then heads downstairs, closing the door after himself quietly. He finds the Argents in the lobby. Beefcake's father gives him a solicitous smile.
You okay?
Yeah, I just found a quiet corner to take five in and must have fallen asleep, Styles says. And then, of course, everyone has to check to make sure he doesn't have a concussion, and Buff has to apologize another few times for nailing him so hard. Styles protests that he's fine, and eventually they all head back to the house. The mood at the Argent house that evening is moderately festive. Everyone knows, of course, that the Argents are the superior hunting family, but having proved it in the competition has everyone in good spirits. Styles is pleased with his fourth place showing, given that physical combat isn't really his forte. He's also still basking in his victory over Freddy. Nothing can tarnish that. Allison is likewise so smug over her sound thrashing of Flossie that nothing can damage her mood. Of course, not everybody is so happy. Grabby Hands is for all the world oblivious to the glares his parents are giving him, although Styles thinks that perhaps that's because he can't see them. He's blinking myopically around the table in his usual manner. Styles wonders if he had bothered to put his contacts in for the tournament or not. The Grand High Muckety-Mucks are presiding in their usual display of crotchety old splendor, discussing the matches and thoroughly embarrassing the winners, the losers, and the parents. At least, Styles thinks, they can all agree on something. Gregor seems a little less ebullient than usual, probably because the Argents are quite smug about their victory over the Aronson twins and not trying to hide it the smallest bit. He wants to sneak out after dinner and go back to Derek's, but doesn't quite dare. Instead, he takes a bath to soak his sore muscles and gives him a call. He has to keep his side of the conversation brief, and Derek is complete crap at phone calls anyway. But it's nice to hear his voice and brag a little bit about the tournament now that they're both in more of a mood for it. He's just getting out when he hears a commotion in the next room. Even with his enhanced senses, he can only barely make out the words. Never would have expected you to beat that Aronson girl, but losing to that whiny little brat from the Stoddard family? God, Jake, you're the most pitiful excuse for a hunter I've ever seen. It's a woman's voice, and obviously Grabby's mother. Apparently, Styles thinks, his name is Jake. Since she's the only one with reason to be bitching like that, he doesn't hear Grabby respond at all. Coming in last place, my God, I wonder why we even brought you. You're not alone there, Grabby Hands remarks acerbically. I told you that it'd be better if you left me home and brought Philip instead. Shut up! There's the sharp sound of a slap. You will speak when spoken to, or you will regret it. Am I making myself clear? You know that your brother is too young to attend a conclave, although God knows that even at 9 years old he would have done better today than you did. Styles hastily dries off and dresses himself in a t-shirt and flannel pants as the woman continues her tirade. He's just leaving the bathroom when he sees Grabby Hands letting himself out of their guest room. He startles when he sees Styles and hastily wipes his hands over his eyes. You okay? Styles asks, trying to pretend he hasn't heard a word of the argument. Yeah, fine. Grabby Hands gives a little shrug. She's always like that. She thinks if she yells enough, I'll magically sprout muscles and be good at this, like my dad and my little brother. He cuts himself off abruptly. Never mind, he says, and turns, jogging down the stairs before Styles can reply. Shaking his head a little, Styles heads into the bedroom.
Allison is lying on the bed, texting, presumably with Scott. "What's shaking?" Stiles asks her. Allison glances up and smiles. "Well, Lydia has fallen in everlasting lust with at least two university libraries, and is thus engaged in a love triangle with admission boards. Scott is pretty sure that Erica wants to eat the bellhop at their current hotel. Isaac is more interested in real estate than colleges. And the rest of the group," she says, because she doesn't want to use the word pack, just in case someone overhears, "hasn't had their turn yet. I guess it's one person a day. I hope that they remember to pick up packets for the colleges I wanted to look at," Stiles says, and flops down on the bed next to her. "God, it sucks that we're missing this trip." "They're not going to forget about you." She rolls onto her side, propping herself up on one arm. "Not only are they going to get you packets from everyone you talked about, but Lydia will grab extras from every place she's interested in, and Danny from half the ones he likes, and Scott and Boyd from everywhere that looks like it might have a single, solitary course you'd want to take. You'll be drowning in packets." "It's good to be the king," Stiles says underneath his breath, and Allison giggles. "Well, I can't pity myself too much. Apparently my life could be a lot worse. Did you hear Grabby's mom bitching him out for coming last in the tournament?" Allison's mouth opens a little in surprise. "I heard her yelling. I mean, I heard her voice. That's what it was about?" She shifts on her bed again and sits up, tucking her legs underneath herself. "What did the woman expect out of the poor kid? He's younger than all of us and still kind of stringy." "Apparently, she expected him to do better than come in last," Stiles says with a shrug. "Actually, it reminded me of..." He stops, then gives a rueful chuckle. "That's right. I keep forgetting you never met Scott's dad. Not a fun guy to have around during Little League. Let's put it that way." "God, I can't even imagine." She leans back against her headboard. "You know, for a while, I just got sick of archery. I mean, I was good at it. I just got sick of it. And Mom and Dad let me stop." She smiles a little and shakes her head. "Knowing what I know now, it must have killed them to do it. But they let me." "Yeah, well, your parents are good people, despite everything," Stiles says. "Anyway, he went downstairs. Maybe to try to find your dad's liquor stash." Allison snorts. "It isn't hard. It's in the kitchen next to the microwave." "Easy access," Stiles agrees, then leans over and grabs her phone. "Let's see how long it takes Scott to notice that I'm not you. Do you two ever sext?" "Stiles!" Allison squawks, laughing, and dives for her phone. "I'm not answering that." "So, yes," Stiles says brightly, holding it over his head. "None of your beeswax." Allison tries to climb him for the phone. When that doesn't work, she resorts to tickling. With his arms up like that, his vulnerable armpit is exposed. He lets out a whoop of laughter and throws himself backwards to get out of her reach, rolling over so he can protect the phone under his body. He has just enough room to keep texting, with his elbows tucked under his abdomen and the phone right underneath his face. Allison's on top of him, still trying to get to the phone, when Stiles' head suddenly jerks up, his face turning towards the window. "What?" Allison stills. There's no playfulness in her tone. I'm not sure," Stiles says, staring at the window. "I just got a really weird feeling for a minute. You know how the last time a pack of wolves with an alpha showed up on our territory, I knew it, even before we had seen them, because I could feel the alpha's power kind of creeping in?" "Yeah." Allison sits up, but stays close to him, and waits for the rest of what he's going to say. If it was the same feeling, he would have said that. "This was like that, but it only lasted a minute, and then it was gone. Not faded or different, but just gone. And now everything's back to normal." "That's weird,"
Allison says. If another pack had found a way to mask themselves, why let it slip like that? I'm not sure, Styles says, but I think I had better go tell your father.